الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنا إن الذين يكسبون الإثم سيجزون بما كانوا يقترفون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has been gracious to us, Allah who has been kind and merciful to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has allowed us the opportunity and has enabled us this time to witness a new period of the Islamic calendar, which is the Islamic New Year. Subhanallah. A time is very, very important for all of us. And our lives are measured with time. Our lives are measured with time. As the scholars have mentioned, time is just like a vessel. And all the human beings are inside the vessel. One day one will come to an end, the vessel remains. Another day another one will come to an end, the vessel is there. So Allah has created time, and if we look at it, Subhanallah, from the time that Allah has created the earth, in fact, from the time the first man came on the face of the earth, Adam alayhi salam, until today, time has been there and people are coming and going. They are coming and going. Time itself, therefore, is a witness to man, a witness to what a man does of good deeds and a witness to what man does of bad deeds. We can't escape time. If we do a deed, it is either in the day or the night. It is the morning or the evening. Time watches us. Time sees us doing all these things. Because we live in time and we can't escape time. And it's because of the fact that time is so important, which has actually saw the rise of man and the decline of man. Time has not only seen the rise of Musa alayhi salam, but time has also seen the destruction of Fir'aun. Time continues to witness all the things that take place. As I said, the good and the bad. Whatever we do, it cannot be out of time. It is within time. And because time is such an important thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by time in the Holy Quran. Subhanallah. And in that surah, which is called Suratul Asr, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wal asr, by time, innal insana lafi khusr, certainly all mankind is in a state of loss, because time is the thing that witnesses that loss. Time is the thing that sees man going on the wrong path. One nation after the other nation being destroyed, whether it is the time of Noah alayhi salam, or the time of Lut alayhi salam, or the time of Saleh or Hud, it is time that was witnessing all these things. Time saw all these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time. And this surah is so important that Imam Shafi alayhi rahmah once used a statement and he said, if all the other surahs of the Quran were not revealed, and this surah alone was revealed in the Quran, this would have been sufficient for the guidance of mankind. This surah alone, the teachings of this surah. This surah is a gist and summary of the guidance which Allah has given the Quran. It tells us the path to success and also tells us the path to failure. Not only that, it tells us who will be successful and who will fail. Subhanallah. So that surah, it is a powerful surah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about time and how important time is. If we waste the day, we are wasting time, and we waste the night, we are wasting time. How often a man looks back at his life 50 years or 60 years or 20 years or 30 years, and he says, I have wasted 20 years of my life. It's time he's speaking about. So when we waste any period of our life, we are actually wasting away the time which Allah has given to us. And as I said, each and every one of us, our lives are measured with time in the sight of Allah. Each person has a time to live. Whether it's 10 years, 2 years, 1 year, 1 month, 60 years, or 100 years, it's time. So when 100 years come to an end in the life of a man, what goes on after that? He goes away. He disappears from the face of the earth. He is placed in another phase of life because his time has come to an end. His time has come to an end. This is why, you know, the subhanallah, very great poet, he said, يَسُرُّ الْمَرُعُ بِمَا ذَهَبَ لَيَالِي يَسُرُّ الْمَرُعُ بِمَا ذَهَبَ لَيَالِي. Man is very happy with the passing of days and nights and the passing of time. When a person turns 20, he's happy he's turning 20. He turns 30, he turns 40, he turns 50 years, he's happy, he celebrates. I've turned 50 years now. I've turned 60 years now, he's quite happy. So this is why the shair and the poet is saying, يَسُرُّ الْمَرُءُ بِمَا ذَهَبَ لَيَالِي. So man is happy that the time is passing. He's happy that the time is going. This year will come to an end in this calendar, this English calendar. Next year will start. People begin to look for certain seasons. People begin to look for something that is approaching and coming. But he says, وَكَانَ ذِهَابُهُنَّ لَهُ ذِهَابًا. But little does this man realize that with the passing of his time is the passing of his life. Subhanallah. So if a man has been given 60 years, when 50 years passes, it is a celebration for the man, but it tells him you only have 10 years left. That is what it tells him. 50 has gone. It's the decline. The decline has started to take place. It's not a moment of joy and happiness. It is a moment to check your number days that are remaining on the face of the earth. Check where you have gone wrong. Check to see where you have to make amends for your life that has gone in the past. This is what it says. So he says, yes, man becomes happy that time is coming and time is passing and time is going. But what's the reality of time going? What is the reality of the time moving on? Our lives are moving on. Our lives are coming to an end. It's becoming shorter every day we live on the face of the earth. So this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us the opportunity and gives us that opportunity and time to witness more years, to witness more months, this subhanallah, it's like credit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's given us some extra time for a reason and a purpose. Not that we waste it, and not that we abuse it, and not that we spend it in a manner that is not wise, but we understand that this time is a very great favor from Allah, and He can take this time anytime away from us. He can shut it down now for us so we fall dead. He can shut it down tonight when we go to sleep so we won't get up at all. Any moment, Allah can say, that's it, your time has come to an end. When it comes to an end for any one of us, it's a sad moment because we can't do all the things we had planned to do and we can't implement the things that we wanted to implement because that's it. Our body becomes immovable. The eyes become shut. The tongue becomes stuck in the mouth. It can't move. We become so helpless. People have to lift us up because our time has come to an end. The body can't do anything again. And we depend on the mercy of Allah, but we can't do anything. So when we have a time, it is as if Allah has given us the opportunity. He says, my servant, this is something I've given to you. Use it wisely. Lest that you use it in an unwise manner and you regret for that. So this new year that has come in, it is something that is special for us. It is something that is special for us. And it is sad to know that Many Muslims are not even aware of the things that are going on in Islam. Everybody is looking when you, if you were to say openly that, well, New Year's are coming up, the New Year is coming up, everybody is thinking about January the 1st. That's how we have been cultured. This is how we have developed our lifestyle, to pin everything on one aspect. So if you were to say, well, New Year is coming up just now, everybody is thinking about January. Very, very few people will think about the first of Muharram, subhanAllah. Very few. But Muharram is connected to who? Muharram is connected to what? The Islamic New Year is used by who? By Muslims. Connected to us, connected to Islam. But how we don't know about it? SubhanAllah. How do we allow all the things that really are not part of Islam to dominate us to the extent that we know so many things about it, but we don't know what is the sanctity of Muharram? We don't know what's the holiness of Muharram. We don't know how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke highly about Muharram. Subhanallah, in one beautiful hadith recorded by Imam Muslim, he says, Afdhalus siyam, the most virtuous of all the fasts, ba'da Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan, is the fast of Shahrullahi Muharram al-Muharram. It is the fast of Allah's month, which is Muharram. Just imagine, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is calling Muharram as Allah's month. Subhanallah. This is Allah's month. It is so great. It is so holy. And he says, the fast besides Ramadan, this month is the month that it brings with it such holy days and nights, that the fast in it is virtuous just after Ramadan. Subhanallah. So therefore, it is important for us to also take some time to look to see what belongs to us. To look to see what belongs to us. Muslims in the past and probably now, we have grown accustomed to the best day of the week, Sunday. Best day is the day Sunday. It's the day you cook the best meals. It's the day everybody's off from work, off from job, relaxing, doing the good things. You want to have anything, it's a Sunday. We have grown into that. We were born into that. We have grown accustomed to it. But we know from Islam, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the best day and the king of all days of the week, it's Friday. It's Friday. Cook your best meals on Friday. Thank Allah on Friday. Wear your best clothing on Friday. Allah has guided us to arrive on the right day for praising Him and glorifying Him, which is Friday, Yawmul Jum'ah. Sayyidul Ayami, the best of all days. So we have to shift from those things that we were cultured into and try to understand the months of our year. What do these months refer to? What do they have? Subhanallah, these are so important that great scholars have written books on what are in these months. What is in Muharram? What is in Safar? What is Rabiul Awal? Rabiul Thani? And it goes on. That is connected to you and I. We don't expect Muslims, non-Muslims to come and say, when it is Ashura, I want to fast on Ashura. This is not connected to them. This is connected to us. We have to know that. We have to know the value of these things. And my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, a very important thing is this, that human being, by nature, they attach importance to certain things. It's natural. We value certain things. It's a natural thing. We are inclined towards certain things. That's how we are made. We love certain things. But as Muslims, if we find ourselves not inclined to good things, we will find a natural inclination to bad things. That's how it is. You know, it's like the scholars have mentioned, by nature a man is born to obey. That's how a man is created. We are born to obey. We grow up as children, we obey our parents. Isn't that so? We begin to go to school, we obey our teachers. We obey the principal. We finish our school, we work in a work environment, we obey the manager, the CEO, the supervisor. And anytime we want to become disobedient, they say, look for another work. We are living in a country, they are heads of the state. We have to obey. The police says, do this, we have to do that. That's the nature. Man is born to obey. So in this entire scope of obedience, it's either we obey Allah or we obey Satan. We have to. Obedience is a must. It's either as a believer, a person chooses to be obedient to Allah. If he is not obedient to Allah, then automatically he becomes obedient to Satan. It's a natural thing because man has been born to obey. Let's look at certain example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give zakat when you have the ability to do so, right? When you have the nisab, you have to give zakat. A man has the ability. He says, I'm not giving zakat. Who does he obey? Shaitan. Satan is the one who says, don't give zakat. Satan is the one who incites and instills poverty in the heart. If you give, you will become poor. It's time for Fajr Salah in the morning. What's the law of our deen? What's the law of Allah? Get up. Perform your Fajr Salah. That's the law of Allah. Satan says, don't get up. Don't perform salat. That is his law. If we fail to get up and perform salat, we have obeyed shaitan and Satan because he is the one who wants us to do what we have done. And in each and every single thing we do, we check our actions. We must become mature enough and intelligent enough to understand that the action that I have just done, who did I obey? Subhanallah. We have to ask ourselves that question. The thing I said just now, a while ago, who did I obey? Whose laws am I following? Who am I pleasing? A Muslim must understand that. And we all as Muslims must look into that direction. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left for us. And as I was saying, that this is the Islamic New Year. What Muharram brings is something that we have to find out and we have to speak about. And we have to appreciate and we have to value the Islamic New Year and we have to value the months in Islam and we have to appreciate and value Muharram and we have to appreciate and value the day of Jum'ah, the best day in the week. How the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, some of them used to go for Fajr, prepare themselves to go for Fajr and remain there right through until Jum'ah. Some of them will come for Ishraq or come for duha salat, charge salat, and they will remain right through there in the masjid, in ibadat. On the day of Jummah, the virtue of every good deed climbs very, very high. Why? Because it is the day of Jummah. So as Muslims, we have to learn to appreciate these things that are really connected to us. Because if we don't do that, other things will take the places of these things, other things. And we'll find ourselves leaning to the things that are not really valuable in the sight of Allah and not valuable to us at all. But if we learn to value what is valuable, then inshallah it will help us live as good Muslims, live as true Muslims, live as true believers. And whenever, another very important thing we have to understand is that whenever we read about the year, the Islamic year, whether we speak about it, you see that it's written or you write it. Whenever a year is called, we will normally see the word or the AH written after that year. 13, 14, 32, but not alone, but AH. That's 1,432 years, AH. We have just completed 1,431 years AH. What is this AH about? What significance this AH has in it? Now, AH literally means after Hijrah. After Hijrah. And it tells us that the counting of years that started in Islam, that has come down until today, it started from after something occurred, which is known as Al-Hijrah. Al-Hijrah, it means the migration. It means the migration. The migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the migration of the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum from the most sacred city, which was Makkah, to the next sacred city called Medina, which used to be called Yathrib. This is the migration. But whenever, subhanallah, The words are so connected to these years that whenever we hear the year being called, 1430, 1431, 1432, 1433, and we know it's AH, immediately we're supposed to reflect on this thing that is called the Hijrah, because it is said again and again. What is this Hijrah? Subhanallah. My dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, if we study and we hear and we look at what took place in the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what took place that drove him to migrate, subhanallah, we will realize that is the greatest sacrifice that has been ever given by any person. Alhamdulillah, we can safely say that in today's world, in our area at least, we practice Islam with a great amount of ease and comfort. We are not affected in our practice of Islam. We are not affected with the rules, the regulations, and the guidelines that we have to implement as Muslims. We don't have to do that. We don't have to be scared about that. We are given the liberty to preach Islam, to practice Islam anywhere, alhamdulillah. If a man decides that in any particular case he is going to go with the Sharia, the law of Islam in that particular case, nobody tells him anything. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's a divorce, whether it is a custody, whether it is inheritance, once people decide to go that way, other people respect you for that. That's it. But this was never the case in the beginning of Islam. And when we look at the pious lives of these illustrious Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we realize that they had to give a tremendous amount of sacrifice to bring Islam from that time until to plant it in such a manner, to plant it in such a manner, to strengthen it in such a manner that it can become so strong that it can survive the waves throughout the generations to come after to reach today. If you don't have, if a tree doesn't have a good foundation, it will fall. If a house that you build doesn't have a good foundation, it will fall. And so to religion, if it doesn't have a good foundation, it will be scattered into pieces. And if it's one religion that has remained in its pristine purity with identically the teachings that came from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the Prophet that came with this deen, it is Islam. Not a single letter of the Quran has been changed. Not a single dot of the Quran has been changed. Not a single message of the Quran has been changed. Not a single twist or turn of the teachings of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been changed. For 1432 years, it has come down to us. Many things have happened with the other ways, with the other religions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved our deen in a manner that when we practice, we know that this is exactly what Allah wants. When we read the hadith, we says, yes, without doubt, these are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt about it. He really said it. Nobody made a mistake. Nobody twisted the meaning and message. This is exactly he said it, because these are all the people who narrated that he said it. One person meeting another person until that person met the Sahabi who heard it with his ears from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, blessed lips. No other religion has that speciality which is called sanad, that tracing back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed our deen. But the deen could only come through it during the trial and period if the foundation was very, very strong. If it was very strong. And for this deen to become very strong as it was and it is today, it took the blood of the Sahabas, the sweat of the Sahabas. It took the lives of the pious Sahabas. Many of them had to give their lives. Their children became orphaned. Their wives became widows. They, subhanallah, and they were always there to give their lives for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Islam. And when it was nourished with such strength and determination, and it was nourished with such sincerity and commitment to the sake of Allah, this is the outcome and result that we have a deen that is the most powerful deen. Subhanallah. The sacrifices they had to give, they did it with sincerity and honesty. They did not do it in a manner feeling some resistance in their heart that they want to do it, but they don't want to do it. They did it willingly for the sake of Allah. And when we look at their lives, subhanallah, we will see, Allahu Akbar, a tremendous amount of sacrifice that were given, sacrifices that were given by these sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in each and every different way. But whenever the call was made, they were present. Whenever the call was made, they were present. The first sacrifice they had to give was to change their lives, to do away with a way of life they had for centuries, to do away with everything they used to worship and call on, to change themselves, to transform themselves, to learn now you just can't live with a woman, you need to do something called nikah. To learn that there aren't many who deserve your worship, there is only one who deserves your worship. To learn that when someone dies, there is the concept of inheritance. It's not about you take and steal the wealth of orphans and innocent children. To learn that you can't eat any and anything, there is something called halal, there is something called haram. To learn that in trade and commerce, you can't buy and sell and get involved in usurious and interest-bearing transaction. To learn there is something halal to sell and something haram to sell. Every single thing they had to learn. To learn there was a manner of dress. There was a manner of behavior. There was a manner of speech. There was a manner of conduct. To learn that they had to forget themselves and understand that Allah controls their life and they had to submit to Allah. This was the full sacrifice. Which was not an easy sacrifice. Human beings who lived in a system for years, born and bred in that system, handed down by their parents and foreparents, placing their love and their trust in certain things, doing certain things every single day of their lives in a certain wrong manner, they are to be told, 100 years old, 90 years old, that's wrong, change. You need to change. So that was such a heavy sacrifice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in simply preaching that teaching, he was persecuted mercilessly just for preaching that. Just for telling them what you are doing is wrong here. What you are doing is wrong there. What you are doing is wrong there. This zina, this adultery, this stealing, this gambling, this drugs, this intoxicants. Just for saying that he was persecuted mercilessly and just telling them that there is only one God. Bas. That was the first sacrifice that, but after a period of time, they transformed themselves, subhanallah. They accepted it. And that transformation that came to them, it came not only externally, but from within the depths of their hearts internally. The change came from inside and affected the outside. And the change that came on the outside also affected the inside. In other words, they were not people to come and smile with you and shake your hand, make you feel that you are their friend and brother, and then backbite you and slander you. If the face tells you something good, the heart must be able to tell you something good. They were people who cleansed their inside as well as their outside. This was the transformation that was needed, which was the first level of sacrifice. They had to forget what they had lived in. They had to forget everything and understand that there is one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they had to submit. Just one incident I'll give you and we'll close. Hadith recorded by Imam Abu Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala. The incident of Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala. Imam Bukhari brought a chapter in his book which is known as Babun, the chapter Al-Ma'asi min Amr al-Jahiliyyah. Sins are connected to un-Islamic affairs. Sins. What does he want to tell us there? He brought the hadith to tell us also that wrongdoings and sins are not part of Islam. It's not part of Islam at all. On Islamic things, sins, wrongdoings, transgressions, they belong to Jahiliyyah, and Jahiliyyah refer to the system before Islam. Anything on Islamic, they belong there. They don't belong in Islam. Which means that as a Muslim, if a person continues to commit sins and do wrong things, then he is still practicing on Jahiliyyah. He's not practicing on Islam. There are substances from non-Islam into him, which he must still leave. And that thing is more explicit in this riwayat, where once Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala became angry with Bilal radiallahu ta'ala for something. When he became angry with Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, became so upset and angry that he used the remark against Bilal. And he said to Bilal, "O son of a black woman." Bilal radiallahu, that's an abuse. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala became angry. Obviously, this is a racial statement, isn't that so? Not acceptable in Islam, haram. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he complained. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard that, he became so angry that the color of his face immediately changed. He sent for Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala and he called him. And he said, "Ya Abu Zar, a'ayyartahu bi ummihi? Oh Abu Zar, have you accused and abused this man with his mother?" Abu Zar said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." He said, "Anta rajulun." Then, "O Abu Zar, you are a man. Fika jahiliyyah." There is still jahiliyyah in you. You have not purified yourself as a Muslim yet. You still have substances of jahiliyyah in you. And what is the message of that? Why Imam Bukhari mentioned that under the chapter? And he wants to show us two important teachings. The first teaching is that if a person was a non-Muslim and then he accepted Islam, it means with Islam there comes a new beginning in your life. With Islam there comes new practices. There come new practices. New thoughts. Your mind is clean. Your heart is clean. With Islam, you have decided to go against all those wrong things you used to do. Whether it is the lying, the stealing, the cheating, the dishonesty, the untrustworthiness, the mistrust, everything. You need to leave all of that because you have migrated towards Islam from wrongdoing. And when you become a Muslim, there can't be jahiliyyah in you. There can't be un-Islamic things in you. You need to be pure for Islam. You need to be pure. You have to migrate. You have to move away totally. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Zar, "You are a Muslim. But oh Abu Zar, what is the matter with you as a Muslim? You still have these traits in your heart. What is the matter with you? Why can't you get rid of these traits? Why can't you throw out these things that are connected to jahiliyyah from you?" And the other teaching is that as Muslims, we know that we have come to jahiliyyah. We know that we grew up in an environment that probably there are a lot of un-Islamic things that we learn afterwards that are un-Islamic and totally haram. But alhamdulillah, we know better now, isn't that so? We know Islam. We know the teachings of the Quran. We know about the things that are good and what are those things that are wrong. We know that. So the teaching is that after we have come to know what are the teachings of Islam, and what are the true teachings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not befit any single Muslim to go back to jahiliyyah after you have known what is correct. It doesn't befit any Muslim that after being a Muslim, after knowing the right thing, that we are still running towards jahiliyyah. We still feel a sense of pleasure in music. We still feel a sense of pleasure in this wrong, in that wrong. That can't be a Muslim. It can't be a Muslim. With Islam, a new thing comes. Jahiliyyah cannot be there in the hearts if Islam is there. And this is what the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum did. They migrated from wrongdoings and transgression to piety before they did a physical migration from one land to another land. And the first migration is the real migration in the sight of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu anhu." The true immigrant, the one who really does a migration, is the one who leaves off all that Allah has made haram and he has gone towards the things that Allah has ordered him to do. That is the essence of migration. And the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum did the migration from within, and the migration that was external by actually moving. We have to understand the sacrifice they have made. We are always called upon as Muslims to make sacrifice in our lives for the sake of our deen, for the sake of success and salvation in this world and the hereafter. Each and every one of us, we must gauge ourselves and check ourselves and ask ourselves, what sacrifices am I making for Islam? What sacrifices am I making to become a better Muslim? Am I just right here where I was 20 years ago? I'm just not moving. I'm like stagnant water. What is going on? We need to also make some improvement in our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the iman to always do that which is good and to sacrifice for the cause of his deen as the sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.